had to step out in faith and trust God to do what he was calling them to do. Over the last few years since I've been here, I've heard a lot of those stories of how a group of disciples in Warren, Pennsylvania, worshiping on Conowongo Avenue, began to sense God's prompting that they needed to do something. And to hear the stories has always been fascinating because they, when they found this property, a lot of people looked at the property and said, you could never build here because it's a swamp. Kind of picture what we often see next door. Imagine over the entire property. It was a lot of challenges. How is this church? How is this small band of disciples who was growing, but how are they going to tackle this idea of buying this property and building this new church? And I mean, it was a stretch. And yet, I love hearing the stories, and I'm looking at some of you that have told me some of those stories, and the excitement that they can share the story of how God not only called, but was faithful to fulfill what he said he would do. And through you as a congregation, that has been something that has been exciting to hear those stories. And I think back in my own life times where I felt God prompting me or nudging me, sometimes not a big thing like that, but sometimes it's just in a day-to-day experience that God might prompt you to take a step of faith and to trust him in some area. And you have to take that leap of faith and just trust him. I had an older woman in my previous church that always said that really God can't use you until, and kind of, I needed to get a video of her saying this because I always thought it was cute, but it's also challenging. She said, until you shimmy out on that branch to where you know the branch could break, you're not really putting yourself in a place where you have to trust God. And I always let that analogy, that image of God calling you out to that place, it doesn't feel real safe. It doesn't feel real secure, but it's in that moment that God is going to work in you and through you. Today, I want us to, as we look, and we're continuing in Genesis, but Genesis is a big book, so we're going to have kind of series within the series. But today, we're going to have a few weeks with Abraham. Starting in Genesis 12 today, and as we begin this series within the series, looking at Abraham, I want you to think about looking back times in your life where God was calling you to something and you had to trust God. You had to trust God to come through, to do whatever it is he was calling you to. I also want you to think, is there something God is calling you to right now? Is there something that he is prompting you to do that you're struggling because you're looking at the circumstances, you're looking at things and saying, I just don't understand how that's going to work. And if you're like me, I always say that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That was probably the mix of the New King James and NIV there in what I just said. But you know, those verses I always said were my life verses, not because I've mastered that, but because I try to get ahead of God. I'm a planner. I'm analytical. So I have a tendency when I look and say, well, God starts nudging me in something, and then I say, well, let me figure this out. Anyone ever tell God, let me figure this out? That's it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't mean that we don't use the gifts God has given us, but he will often call us into places where it may not make sense, but we just have to trust him. So I want us to keep that in the back of your mind. What is God calling you today to? What is something that you can look back and remember a time where God led you out on that branch and you had to trust him? Or is there something you're facing right now that you're thinking, I can't worry about the details. I just need to trust God and walk in obedience to what he's calling me to do. You know, the reality is, as we look at Abraham, we know Abraham is associated with faith. Going in the New Testament, he's listed up in Hebrews 11 and in the faith chapter, Abraham is first and foremost, is the example of faith. And we see that throughout the New Testament, that Abraham is consistently lifted up for his example of trusting God. And so we're going to look at the first encounter and the first test that Abraham has in Genesis 12. And I just want to, as we reflect on this, remember our larger concept as we work through Genesis is what does it mean to walk in relationship with God? And as we look at Abraham and his example of how he walked with God and his example of faith and obedience, let's look at our own lives and ask ourselves, are we living in a way that demonstrates this type of faith in our own lives? Let's look at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country. And just an explanation. Abraham's name is changed to Abraham in chapter 17. We're going to get there. But after I read the text, I'm going to refer to Abraham as Abraham just for simplicity. But we'll get into explaining. You've got to come back in a few weeks if you want to get into the reason why the name changed. But Genesis 12, 1 through 9, it says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord hath told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. So again, you need a picture. Sometimes in our mind we read this and we think it's just, in our culture we think immediate nuclear family. Abraham, Sarah, and their kids. This is a much bigger group of people. We know later that it even identifies men who could fight that are in his company. So, I mean, Abraham has a group of people. This is his family. He is leaving his extended family, but he's taking his clan with him as well in this transition. It says, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. Just pause for a second. What we see here is not only does Abraham get led into what we eventually know if we keep reading through the Genesis and into Israel's history, he's getting a preview of the promised land. And in these verses, he's promising this land I'm going to give to you. But at this time, Abraham does not settle there. He's in Shechem, then near Bethel, then the Negev, and then we know in the next chapter, he's in Egypt. But what we have is he's traveling through. It's almost like he's getting the preview of the land, getting the scope of the whole land that God is giving to his descendants. Verse 7 says, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country in the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. So he's heading south. Then it leads up to the next chapter. We're going to look at his visit to Egypt. What I want us to look at as we think about this passage is I want us to look at three things. And while we're looking at verses 1 through 9, we're primarily looking at those first three verses because they really give the outline and the picture of everything that is happening in these verses. We see there's a command. We see there's a promise, multiple promises. There's a command given to Abraham. There are multiple promises that God provides. And then we understand God's purpose. So today I want us to think about that. As we think about it even in our own life, as God calls us to things, God will often give the command. He'll tell us what he wants us to do. And we have the promises that we can hold on to as we walk in obedience with him. But we also need to always keep that in the context of what God is doing. What is his purpose? What is he trying to accomplish in your life, and through your life to others. So let's first look at the command to go. Verse 1, it says, God calls to Abraham. And now, again, set this context. We know Abraham, that's a little off. Okay, look at this one. That looks better. I don't know why that's, if you can see it all, but imagine when we see Abraham and the fact that God is now speaking to him and calls him to do something that seems pretty drastic. It's profound enough just in the nature of what he calls Abraham to do and what he then does. But put that in the context of a society that people are not regularly hearing from God. And so God is speaking into a culture. We know that there are many other gods that are being worshipped and around him. And yet God speaks to Abraham. And Abraham not only has the ability to hear and discern God's voice, but we see then that Abraham embraces what God calls him to do and chooses to respond in obedience. But what we see again, these words that come to Abraham, he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, the word go is the primary verb through verses 1 through 3. Everything else revolves around that. And we'll explain that in a moment. But I want you to think for a second. Think about what that must have been like for Abraham and what he's being asked to do. Go from your country. That's a place. The place you know that you're comfortable. I know anytime we ever moved, there's a struggle just in getting used to a new place. There's no giant eagle in Warren. Do you realize how stressful that was when we first moved here? Because we were so used to giant eagle. I lost my perks, my giant eagle perks. Every culture, every place has specific things that you get used to. There's a comfort level to place. The bigger struggle was stores closing at 5, 6 o'clock. That was like, I remember in Pittsburgh, 10 o'clock during the Christmas season, Christmas shopping. No, nothing. I mean, the normal hours were 9, lifted to 11 during Christmas season. So every place has its negatives and positives. And so Abraham is being asked to leave the place that he knows. There's a comfort there. God is calling him to go not only from your country, but go from your kindred, his family. And this is and from your father's house. This is challenging his identity and his security. The security that Abraham would have had and his identity would have been based on who he was and his family, his extended family. And if it doesn't get any worse, he says, go from your country, go from your kindred, go from your father's house, leave all that security, leave all that identity, and then go to the land over there. No, it's like not even that specific. Go to the land that I will show you. So I want you to think for a second. We see in this passage, and we see in Abraham and his life, and all that we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks, Abraham demonstrates the importance of trusting God and walking in obedience. But I want you to think just in those verses the challenges that Abraham's facing. He's losing his identity, his security. Because the go to this place where I'm going to give you, or to this place that I will show you, it's connected with, it's like this exchange. Leave the place where you are to go to the place that I'm taking you. It reminds me of Jesus' teaching of the parable of the treasure buried in the field, or the pearl of great price. You remember those parables? There's some of the shorter parables that Jesus teaches and says, look, you're not foolish if you find a treasure buried in the field and you go and sell everything you have to buy that treasure, to buy the field with the treasure. It's not foolish to sell everything you have to buy the pearl of great value. There's an exchange. You let go of everything you have to be able to embrace what God is calling you to. And what he's giving you. Abraham was understanding. He's being asked to leave a lot of things. So he's, when you look at the list, I have five things that I see that Abraham is facing in challenges. One is that loss of identity, loss of security. Two, God has taken him to an unknown destination. There's no GPS coordinates here. There's no map. There are those of you that use the old AAA triptychs. There's no, God didn't give him any sort of guide to say, this is where I'm taking you. That's a major challenge. Think about the promise. We go on to look beyond these verses. God begins to expand that promise of not only am I going to go and take you to this other this other place, but that I'm going to make a great nation in you. When we start looking at the things God is promising that he will do, it's a major challenge to think about the fact that we know later that Sarah is barren. And did you catch Abraham's age? At the moment of this promise, he's 75. His wife's barren. He's 75 years old. And we know as we keep reading the story, it's another 25 years before God fulfills the promise. Now, most of us, we struggle with God not fulfilling a promise within days. Imagine what that would have been like for Abraham. So the loss of identity, security. He's being called to an unknown destination. Sarah is barren. And Abraham and Sarah are old. And then later, when God appears to him down in verses 7 and 8, as he's showing him this land, what's the problem? There are people in the land. Now imagine this. You go and find the house of your dreams. You walk into that home and disregard the people that are already living there, that have no intention of moving. If you were to walk into that room and say, God is giving me this house, you're probably going to end up in the local jail more than anything. But that's really what's happening here. That picture is God is showing him this land and saying, this is what I'm going to give you. But even as God is making that promise, the text tells us that the Canaanites were already in this land. Verses 6 through 7 says, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now as we think about Abraham's challenges, you can't look and celebrate his faith and his trust in God without looking at the challenges. It's because of the challenges that you see Abraham faced and that he still chose to trust God and chose to walk in obedience to God that we see that he is really an example of how we are to trust God despite the circumstances that we face. I mean, despite the challenges Abraham faces, he trusts God to fulfill his promises. And let's switch to the promises. Again, we're looking primarily at verses 1 through 3, and the shift from what God is calling Abraham away from, he now gives the word of promise. He says, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Now, remember the last account we looked at in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel? There's a clear contrast between a group of people that were trying to make their name great and seeking self-glory apart from God. There's a clear contrast between that and Abraham, who God invites into a relationship where God is going to bless him and make his name great, but it's in relationship with God and God fulfilling his purposes. Abraham is called here to trust God, to fulfill these promises. And again, you think, what would motivate Abraham to leave? It's not just that God says, go to the land I show you. He then goes on to say, and if you do this, let me rephrase that. He doesn't say if. He says, go, and then he proceeds to say that when you go, this is what's going to happen. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. I'm sure he was stuck in that first one. I'm going to make of you a great nation. He has no heir, let alone an heir that would be able to then produce a great nation from his line. My correcting myself a moment ago is important, because if you really look at these verses, I've often read this as conditional. But the reality is these verses don't say, if you go, I will. It says, go, and I will. The promise is not conditional. God did not say, if you will go, I will bless you. He said, go, and I will bless you. It's a difference between putting the weight on Abraham and his actions, dependent upon him, and understanding that as conditional, versus the idea of God inviting Abraham to join him and saying, I've got great blessings and great promises to bless you, and inviting him to go. It'd be very similar to if I were to preparing a meal and invited someone to say, look, I'm preparing a great meal. Just disregard my cooking. Imagine if I was a great cook and I'm preparing a great meal and I invite someone to come. It's not dependent upon you coming whether or not I'm fixing the meal. That's the picture of what's happening here. God is not, this is, don't put an if in verse 1. This is not conditioned. It is, though, Abraham's faith. If we read the rest of the story, we know Abraham's faith and his obedience are necessary. But it is God that fulfills his promise. Catch the difference. It's not Abraham doing something to secure God's blessing, like he's somehow controlling this. God has promised blessing, and he's called Abraham to go. Abraham's job is to trust God and be obedient. The fulfillment of these promises is not dependent upon Abraham. The fulfillment of these promises is dependent upon one who made the promise. God is inviting Abraham into a new relationship, and he's calling him. He says, go, and I will make you a great nation. Go, and I will bless you. Go, and I will make your name great. Reality is, Abraham may not have known the destination. He may not have understood how God would fulfill his promises. But this was the difference. He did understand that God was going with him. And he would fulfill his promises to him. Do you catch that? He didn't know the destination. He didn't understand how God was going to do it, despite his age and all the challenges. But he understood that the one who made the promise would fulfill that promise. And so he trusted him. When we think of that, that brings us to the third part of this. Not only does God have the command to go, he has the promise, the promises that are not conditioned, but that Abraham, though still, for him to enjoy those blessings, he still did have to walk in obedience and trust God. But we also see in these verses that God is doing this not just to bless Abraham, but he's fulfilling a larger purpose. And this is where we need to pause for a second and think about the shift where we've been. We're moving. What's fascinating to me, when you look at all the chapters in Genesis, there are two chapters that discuss the creation of the world. One chapter for the fall and the entry of sin into the world. I believe it's 12 chapters talking about the life of Abraham. We're going from a very broad scope to a very narrow focus, and yet the coverage and the extent that God's word is giving us to describe Abraham and his relationship with God really gives us an idea of the purpose of what Genesis is really about. He's giving us the backstory. He's giving us the creation account and all that, but God is ultimately concerned about how are we walking in relationship with God, our Creator. And so Abraham is now the first of what is known as the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down to Joseph. These are men that God calls out, and they're walking with God. And not only are they walking with God, but God is, through them, fulfilling his redemptive purpose for all of mankind. And that's what we need to remember, is that God is not only calling Abraham so he can bless Abraham directly. He's calling Abraham so that through his blessing Abraham, he's going to bless all nations and all peoples. And that's the purpose. The purpose is what he says later in verse 3, so that you will be a blessing. And he goes on, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I firmly believe that Abraham is an example not only of faith, but when God calls us into a relationship where we walk with him and we trust him and walk in obedience to him, and we walk with the hope of receiving his blessing, God never calls us just so we can enjoy that blessing. God calls us and he blesses us so that we can be used to bless others. And we see that clearly in Abraham. Abraham is being used, and God is telling him, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. And in that phrase, that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I mean, it's the difference between looking at our life with God as our life, the difference between a spring and a pond. A pond is, there doesn't seem, although there is, we know there's algae, and any biologists here, we know there's lots of living things there, but it's nasty in comparison to a spring and a place where there's a clear inlet of water and a clear outflow of water. God doesn't want us to be in a place where we're pursuing him just so we can receive his blessing and then end there. We need to always understand that God calls us so that we're fulfilling his purpose in the world. And God does want us to walk with him. He wants us to walk in obedience with him and walk in this place where we can experience his favor and experience his blessing, but it's never just for ourselves. We have a responsibility to be reaching out and sharing God's favor and his blessing with others. But our part, again, Abraham reminds us, our part is God's going to do the work. We just have to trust him and walk in obedience, but to know that it's not just about us, it's about who God is going to bless as we walk with him. Remember Matthew 4:19, when Jesus called the disciples, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus' invitation, the disciples, he invites them to come and to follow, so that then Jesus then will do the work, much like the promises made to Abraham that I will bless. Jesus is saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus invites us to walk in relationship with him so that then he can begin to do a work in us and through us. And he is the one that will do that work in us. When we think about the purpose of what God has called us to, we as a denomination, as a movement, we always come back to Matthew 28:19-20. What we call the Great Commission. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What does that have to do with Abraham? Abraham was invited into a relationship where he had to trust. There were a lot of things that would make it difficult for him to trust God. But as he trusted God, he could trust that God was going to fulfill his promises, not just to bless Abraham, but that through Abraham, others would receive that blessing. God calls every one of us to come and to follow him so that we become fishers of men. He calls every one of us to go out and make disciples, and yet we don't go alone. We often skip that last part of verse 20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Like Abraham, when we understand that God might be calling us to something that's challenging, God might be calling us individually or corporately to something that scares us, that makes us nervous, that might be teaching a class, that might be speaking to a coworker, that might be just doing some act of kindness for your neighbor. Whatever it is that God might be nudging you and calling you to do, it's important that we understand that what he calls us to, we're not dependent. We just have to trust God. We need to trust him and know that it's God that is going to fulfill his promises to help us accomplish what he calls us to do. It's God's presence with us that makes the difference. A.W. Tozer was reading some of his thoughts on Genesis 12, and I didn't put the quote up because he didn't attribute the quote. He just referenced an old preacher. So I'm not sure who Tozer viewed as an old preacher, but the but he was describing this relationship with Abraham and how Abraham had the faith and the confidence to trust God and step out, because in verse 4 it says he went. He left. He took his family, he took those in his company, and they moved. What Tozer describes is that he understood what this old preacher said, was that Abraham may not have known the destination, but he knew who went with him. That's the difference. That's how a group of disciples, some of you in this room, sitting in a small building on Conowongo Avenue, as you sense God calling you to something that's really stretched you corporately, you could do that knowing that, look, there are challenges, but if God is in this, we don't have to fear. And many of you have shared those stories of how God has been faithful over the years to answer those prayers. He told us to take that step of faith, and God was faithful to fulfill his end of the bargain. He was faithful to do what he said he would do in making that transition. And that is true in each of our lives. There are going to be times, whether it's something in your past or whether you're something you're going through right now or something in your future, there are going to be times where God is going to nudge you or prompt you to do something that doesn't make sense. And in that moment, we need to understand it's not about us and it's not about our ability. It's us choosing to walk in faith and obedience and trust God to do what he calls us to do. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Abraham and his example of faith. And Lord, I thank you for the stories of how you called a group of people, Lord, in this church to dream big. And you gave a vision that was bigger than anything that they could have done on their own. Lord, I can't help but sense, Lord, that often we don't experience the blessing. We don't experience the fullness of your blessing in you using us to bless others because we're not willing to take that leap of faith. We're not willing to let go of the things that we find security in. To take that step and to be out on that branch to where we may not have anything but you to trust. Lord, I pray that that would be the type of relationship that each of us would be pursuing with you. A relationship of trust, a relationship of obedience, Lord, that says no matter what the circumstances, we're going to trust you. And we're going to walk in faith and trust that you're going to fulfill your purpose in us. And Lord, help us to have a vision that remembers your purpose. It's never just about us. It's always so that we would be blessed, that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, I just pray that you would be searing that truth into our minds and our hearts today. And help us to be willing to let go of the things that bind us and hold us from taking that leap of faith to trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.